Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric Johansson. That's Nathan Fox. We're from LSATdemon.com and the weekly podcast Thinking LSAT. We've got an email here from Varshini.
It says, hey Ben and Nathan, after studying the LSAT for a while, I have realized how repetitive logic games and logical reasoning are, but I can't find any such pattern in reading comprehension. Maybe I haven't worked as hard and long on reading comprehension. My question to you is, would you say that reading comprehension is repetitive as well? And if yes, could you elaborate?
It feels repetitive to me in that they give you a few paragraphs to read and you read them closely and you answer questions about what it said.
That doesn't change, right? Every passage is, what, 2 to 5 or 6 paragraphs. It's around, I believe Ben always says 14 sentences or something like that. So that's a pattern that recurs. Another pattern that recurs is the questions themselves are extremely competitive, are extremely repetitive. They're always asking you about a different topic, but they're asking you the same thing about that topic over and over. They're asking, what was the main point of that passage? What did they want? What was the idea that they were primarily trying to get across to you? The other questions are basically just a whole bunch of must be true questions. They'll ask you about the role played sometimes by certain parts of the evidence, but they ask you frequently, what did the author say about XYZ? And so, from that perspective, I find the test to be really repetitive. Like, I don't really even recognize the differences between, you know, some people get real freaked out about like the type of passage. Oh, I don't like the science ones. And my response is, but they're all the same. They don't require scientific knowledge. The topic is changing, but the exercise itself is just, can you attack this passage, understand what's there, and then answer a whole bunch of must be trues about it?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you specifically, Eric, you teach the LSAT cross-training classes at LSAT Demon, and so you rotate through in a cycle about how to bring your best from one section into another section. And Varshini, because she's so good at LR and games, and because she needs to support in reading comprehension, I wondered what your classes, because you have 2 classes that you teach specifically, like how to take the best from logical reasoning and improve in reading comp, how to take your best from games and improve in reading comp. Is that 2 separate things or is it a similar idea, I wonder?
Well, it's similar in that really the entire test is just a reading comprehension test. So
I think that's a very valid point. I totally agree.
I sound pretty repetitive in those. It's a cycle of 6, right, for my cross-training class.
Yeah.
But it gets pretty repetitive. It's all variations on a theme. I would say for, you know, treat reading comp like logic games. The main thing that I come back to for that is really just a mindset of accepting that every answer is perfectly proven. That on RC, if you're debating answer choices, it's not because there's multiple good answer choices. It's like, you know, we've all had that experience in a game where you're answering a must be true and you're looking at 2 answer choices that must be true on a game. Your reaction is not, oh, well, I just have to pick the best one.
Right.
It's no, I screwed something up with my game setup.
100%.
Same thing on RC. You have to accept that's it's the same thing. Go back and figure out what you screwed up. So I think that people, students intuitively feel that more on the games. But when you can make that same mindset shift on RC, it's a big deal. Another thing that Matt said a lot for the games is, the game doesn't say it, then it's not a rule.
Yeah, right.
Same
if
thing.
If the passage
RC
didn't say it, then it's not the answer.
Yep.
Yeah. They needed to say materially the same thing. It doesn't have to be the same words, but it has to be the same meaning. Yep. They either said it or they didn't. Where's your evidence? Where in the passage can you show me the evidence to support this answer? And that we do that a lot in games. We can see it pretty clearly. Oh, you know, if so-and-so goes in this place, then this other person has to go in that place. Well, in reading comp, one of the answers has to be the answer because it's the one that has evidence. It has evidentiary support in the passage. Okay, that's great. And then in logical reasoning, if you're going to translate LR strength into reading comp, what do you do there?
I think the big thing there is really leaning into a I want to say demanding reading of the text.
I like that.
Like I think we learn early on with LR that we need to be demanding of these arguments, like demand that they prove their damn conclusion.
Sure.
And really nitpick and tear into them and attack them. And I tell people, hey, these RC passages are just longer arguments.
Yeah.
The author has an idea. They want you to think the same idea that they think.
Yeah.
And everything they write is a premise in service of that goal.
Yep.
So when you can start to treat it like that, it makes it a little easier to maybe find their main point, find what their agenda is.
And just where's the author's opinion, right? These passages repetitively present so-and-so says X. Some critics say is like maybe the most common phrase in all of reading comprehension.
Yep.
It'll be some economist's claim or some researchers believe or many historians think, right? Those are all just parallels. They're all just repetition of the same theme, which is I'm going to tell you someone else's perspective.
And what do you think comes next?
Well, yeah, like, and that's the part that you've got to be hungry for right off the bat. So in logical reasoning, I'm looking for pretty straightforward. What's your evidence? What's your conclusion? You know, almost always there's going to be words that I can point to that I'm going to say, okay, so that right there is your conclusion for sure. Everything else is meant to be support for that. And then I'll be attacking saying, does your evidence really prove that conclusion? Or can I weasel out of your conclusion given those premises? On reading comp, the inquiry is still strong. It's still demanding, as you said. I'm reading it to attack where the author's position really is. So you can tell me what other people think. That's great. And then you can tell me what other people think. Okay, fine. I'm listening, but I'm always in there going, yeah, but what do you think, author? And another thing that repeats a lot is that the author's attitude will be betrayed by like one word in the passage.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that? What do I mean by that? Where does that happen?
Well, when you were saying some critics think, or many scientists have claimed, or for years it's been accepted that such and such, I'm waiting for but. However.
Which is another thing that repeats, right, on the test that you should kind of expect.
Yeah, that is probably the most repetitive kind of structural pattern that I see in RC passages is here's the setup of what these people or everyone or what you think, however. And that's the author saying, I'm about to blow your mind and tell you it's not that way. That's really, right. That's a really common pattern.
Yep. It feels like that's half of the passages maybe.
Yeah. And a word like that, a however or a but, it's like a turning word where suddenly, hey, there's the author.
That's a real obvious one. What I was actually fishing for was a type of word that appears a lot, which is an adjective or an adverb. Especially, they do it a lot with ones that end in ly,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be telling you about a claim that some scientist makes, or that some economist makes, or that some critic makes, and then they'll start a sentence off with astutely. These critics claim that blah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, whoa, wait a second. Astutely, really? According to whom? Well, according to you, according to the author. And that just pops up over and over and over on the reading comp. And so when you're really in there attacking the passage going, what do you want? What is your point here? What are you trying to sell me? What's your opinion? And then they just will feed it to you in one word. You know, the choice of a particular descriptor,
mm-hmm.
and you all of a sudden go, oh, I see what you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
We had one pop up in a class recently, ostensibly.
Oh, yeah, right.
Great word. Very lot of tone in that word, ostensibly.
Yeah, ostensibly. That a synonym or at least a similar word would be, you know, it's kind of like allegedly,
yeah,
which has a stink on it.
Mm-hmm.
presumably has a little, maybe more of a positive spin to it, right? Mm-hmm. Ostensibly. Yeah, that's like, well, according to them.
Yeah. Hard not to read that with some air quotes.
Yeah, it's like, well, theoretically, or, yeah, you know, this is how it's claimed. Yeah, mm-hmm, totally. All right. I think we've given more than enough. Please email. Thank you for being here, Eric. thank you, Varshini, for writing in. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.